And here's the Fred Allen Show, presented by the makers of Shepherd Cheese and Tenderleaf Tea. And while Fred Allen is pinning on his town marshal's badge for his trip down Allen Valley, let's talk a moment about Shepherd Cheese. In our enthusiasm for the Sunday night toasted cheese sandwich and for Shepherd Chevelle, C-H-E-V-E-L, Chevelle cheese food as the ideal way to make it, let's not forget that after all, Chevelle is a main dish food, too. It has that fine natural cheese flavor that's perfect for a cheese omelet or souffle. Yet Chevelle is mild enough to blend perfectly with many other foods. Fish, seafood, vegetables. And tangy enough to spark up bland foods like spaghetti macaroni or noodles. All of these are fine Lenten dishes if you give them the genuine, distinctive flavor of Chevelle. Remember Chevelle, quick to melt, smooth to spread, easy to slice. And get it tomorrow in the bright red package when you shop. Chevelle is made by the Shepherd folks, quality cheesemakers for more than 40 years. So always say Shepherd, S-H-E-F-F-O-R-D, Shepherd for fine cheese.
Mrs. Newsom, Mrs. Newsom.
Shortly I'm commencing hitting.
Shepherd Cheese and Tenderleaf Tea presents the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, the Quiz Kid. Parker Fenley, the DeMarcos, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and oh yes, Kenny Delmar.
Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, the world observes the 100th anniversary of the birth of Alexander Graham Bell. Tonight, paying tribute to the telephone, we bring you a man with two rings under his eyes. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Portland, I'm sure I thought you'd never get to me the way you were going. I'm glad you mentioned, in the same breath with me, I'm glad you mentioned Alexander Graham Bell.
Oh, he was a great man.
Yes, he was, Portland. Just think. Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. And if he was alive today, he probably couldn't even get one. That's a light when we start with little light. We'll see what happens as we go along. Even if it's nothing, you will see what happens.
Mama says Bell may have invented the telephone, but Dr. Gallup invented the pole.
That wasn't one for you, too. Well, never mind. Tell me, Portland, what's in the news this week?
Astro Bird is leaving Little America.
Why?
Oh, he heard there was more snow back here.
Really? I read it was so cold at Little America, when the men played cards, every time they dealt a hand, they had to put a mitten on it. I think we kept that joke up too late. That joke is a little tired, I think. It's up too late.
We have cold jokes every week.
Well, my writers... See, now we've got the straight lines are beginning to get laughs. This may be the whole end of radio. As soon as the punctuation gets laughed, I'm quitting. Did you read that again, Gordon?
Why do we have cold jokes every week?
Cold jokes? Well, my writers haven't any overcoats. They write what they feel, you know.
Radio writers must have a precarious existence.
Oh, they do.
Precarious? That's the first time I've ever seen that word in one of your scripts.
Well, it's that new writer I hired. He's from Harvard. He had another word he wanted to put in. It had a hyphen in it.
A hyphen?
Yes, the censor took the hyphen out. He thought it was an exclamation point that had fallen down.
I used to be a radio writer.
Oh, yes. It's a precarious life, Portland. But hey, precarious again. That Harvard man sure earned his money this week. Tell me, what's next?
The prices at the movie theaters are coming down.
Yes, I guess they're trying to help business.
Instead of cutting prices, the movie theaters should put more butter on their popcorn.
Not a bad idea. Less corn on the screen and more butter in the bag.
That would be precarious.
The precarious?
That car Harvard man is overdoing
it. He certainly is. And I think we're overdoing it, too, Portland. We better start for Allen's L.
What is your question tonight?
Well, figures have just been published showing that the circulation of newspapers reached a record high in 1946. And so our question is, you take a daily newspaper, and if you do, what feature do you like best?
Shall we go?
As the Gruen Watch said to the Bulliver, let's run down. Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. Say, the senator must be cooking a turtle. The smoke is coming out of his chimney very slowly. Well, let's not.
I see somebody wham a flash.
Yes.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
Say, Senator, your eyes are all red.
I've been crying, son.
Really?
I've been bellering and boo-hooing.
Yes.
I must have slopped up 20 pieces of burlap.
What made you cry, Senator?
I've seen a moving picture. I started crying at the box office.
Crying at the box office?
Got there just as the prices changed.
What? What picture did you see?
The Yearling. It's a story of the South.
Yes.
It's a poor family. There's a little boy and a deer. The bears eat the pig. Then there's a tornado blows everything away.
Now, wait. Don't break down, Senator.
Well, that dirty wrecking tornado. That wind was from the north.
Don't take it so hard.
Wait till I dry my eyes on my shirt tail.
All right. You like the Yearling, eh, Senator?
I only found one boner in the whole picture.
A boner?
That little deer was a doe.
Uh-huh.
That's the first doe I've seen in the South for 30 years.
Well, never mind that. What about this newspaper question?
Well, every man in the South takes a daily paper.
You mean?
No matter how poor a man is.
Yes?
As soon as he's had his breakfast, his grits and fat fat, that is.
Yes.
He goes out in front of his cabin.
Yes.
Crawls out on the ground.
Yes.
Then he opens up his paper.
And he reads it?
No, he puts it over his head to keep off the flies.
The flies?
Son, many a man in the South who can't read has specs on him. So long.
Let's take care of the senator with his fly comedy. Let's see if Mr. Moody is still up.
Howdy, bud.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you feel about newspapers?
Why, it pays to advertise in them. I can tell you that.
You had an experience?
Yep. When I was young and full of sap. I was the champion wild strawberry picker of Rockville County.
I see.
One prize I won was a clamshell ashtray and a trip to the city.
You went to the city?
Yeah, carrying the clamshell ashtray.
Well, why?
In case I felt like smoking on the way.
Oh.
I had some corn silk with me.
Oh, I see. But tell me, why did you go to the city?
They called it publicity.
Uh-huh.
I had to get photographs with the champion cranberry picker, Cape Cod.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Me and the cranberry picker shook hands.
You did, eh?
His hands was wet, clear up to his elbows.
But what about this ad you put in the newspaper?
Why, one day in the city, my pearl-handled jackknife with a picture of Lillian Russell on it was missing.
I see.
I put an ad in the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
I went straight from that newspaper office to my room at the Y.
Yeah.
I put my hand into my outer overalls.
Yeah.
There was my pearl-handled jackknife.
Really?
15 minutes after I put that ad in the newspaper.
Yeah.
I hid my jackknife back.
So
that proves it pays to advertise. So long,
well, Bob. I wonder what Mr. Moody's doing with a jackknife. He looks a little old to cut up. Well, let's try next door.
How'd you double duty?
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you look taller tonight.
What a lark I'm putting on Adler's shoes.
Or a lark, eh?
This is an expression, a colloquium.
Oh, I see.
A lark is also a bird.
Well, I know that.
This is like a chickadee, only singing.
Fine.
Also, in poems, is a lark. Hark, hark, could be a lark.
Oh, never mind. Look, please. Yes, lark. What about your daily newspaper?
I
am only enjoying the gossiping.
You mean the gossip columnist?
Over there, I have been blessed with events.
Yeah.
Orchards they are giving.
Right.
Always somebody assisting.
Yeah.
Or personalities is making wise crackles.
Wise crackles, eh?
Put Snort is saying to Fred Allen in Mammoth Chicken Shack.
Yeah.
A boys in the hands could get in gravy on the plane.
Oh. Fred Allen, you say?
He's on the radio.
Oh.
He is just a bit too expression, a comedian.
Oh, I see. Do you ever hear this Allen on the radio?
Every Sunday night I'm tuning in.
Yes?
I am hearing the program up to Titus Moody.
And then?
Some snook is knocking on my door.
Oh. Reading all these gossip items, do you ever find any mistakes?
Only one.
I see.
Why the windshield is shrinking? What dazzling glamour push is this Pierre Nussbaum at the Menasha Skolnick opening?
What was the mistake?
That night that Pierre is no dazzling glamour push.
Well, who was this Pierre?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. That brings us to Mr. Cassidy's candidate. I wonder what awaits us here at Mr. Cassidy.
Oh, how do you do?
Well, Mr. Cassidy, what about this newspaper question?
Ain't you going to ask me how I feel?
Oh, say that right. How do you feel?
It's none of your business.
All right, never mind you. How do you feel about newspapers?
Oh, they're dangerous, my boy.
Really?
It's because of a newspaper this very minute me Uncle Martin's nephew lies at death's door.
Well, what happened?
Well, Martin brought his nephew over from Ireland.
I see.
The boy was called Dull David Dineen.
Dull David, eh?
You could put his brain in a thimble, you'd have room enough left for your thumb.
Huh?
He came over on a cattle boat. For 2 weeks after Dull David got off the cattle boat, he walked on all fours.
Well, how did you get him to stand on 2 feet?
Me Uncle Martin ran at him with a stick. And when Dull David reeled up, me uncle ran around behind him and tightened his suspenders.
That did it, eh? You say the boy was stupid?
Stupid? Martin lived in Brooklyn. He explained to Dull David all about the subway.
I see.
The devil, the next time they caught Dull David going down into a sewer, he thought it was Canal Street.
What about the newspaper?
Well, last week, me Uncle Martin sent Dull David out to get the evening paper.
I see.
He disappeared completely.
Disappeared?
3 days later, they found Dull David lying in a crumpled heap in Prospect Park near the Budhouse Garden. He was scratched from head to toe and his hands were full of feathers.
Feathers and scratch? What newspaper was Dull David sent out for?
The Brooklyn Eagle.
Dull David at death's door and turn to the 5 DeMarco sisters. With Maestro Al Goodman conducting his Pier 6 Philharmonic, the DeMarco sing Huggin' and Chalkin'.
Talking away.
And now a gentleman to verify today's date.
Mark Beckham. So it's time to begin looking for that corner that spring is just around. Spring, summer, fall, and winter, Tenderleaf tea balls are the all-American favorite. You'll find a great many good reasons for that. First of all, finer tea, more flavor in your cup, because it's famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea. And then, cleanliness. Your Tenderleaf tea ball comes to the table in a sanitary envelope. No hands have ever touched it. You don't touch it yourself. A long string attached to tea ball has a tag on the other end. And this feature is so ingeniously arranged that simply lifting the tag opens the envelope. The long string carries the tea ball to the cup, still untouched. The clean white filter paper is absolutely tasteless, insoluble too, so there's nothing to mar your pleasure in the goodness of the Tenderleaf tea itself. No wonder they outsell all other kinds. Tenderleaf tea balls are better in every way. Your grocer has boxes of 8, 16, 48, and 100. Ask him for Tenderleaf brand tea balls.
You have just heard a musical clue. The correct answer to what song was that is I'll Close My Eyes. It was played by Maestro Al Goodman and 25 Reasons Why This Is Not an All-Musical Program. Say, Portland.
Yes?
Will you get me a glass of water, please? I want to take another Alka-Seltzer.
Well, you've taken 10 already. Is something wrong?
No. I was on the Quiz Kids program this afternoon. The kid's sponsor gave me some samples. His 10,000 tablet Get Acquainted kit. I'm just getting acquainted.
Are the Quiz Kids going to be on your program this year?
Well, they may try to squeeze me in, Portland. The Quiz Kids are living in Brent Hanno's window. You know, their new book, The Quiz Kids, just came out.
Have you a copy?
I certainly have, and what I went through to get my copy.
What happened?
Well, Friday, I was home writing the script for tonight's program, and out of no place, there was a knock on the door. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Well, The Quiz Kids. Hey, Joel Tupperman, you're the only one I remember from last year.
I know, Mr. Allen. These are all new Quiz Kids.
All new, fine. Well, tell me, who are you types?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 11 years old, and I'm in the 6th grade at the Field School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Well, glad to meet you, Lonnie.
I'm Naomi Cook. I'm 8 years old, and in the 4th grade at the Grover Cleveland School, Chicago.
Well, it's a pleasure, Naomi.
I'm Jack Rooney. I'm 14 years old and a sophomore at Loyola Academy in Chicago.
Good, Jack.
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 10 years old.
Well, you don't have to introduce yourself, Joel.
That's right. We've met before, haven't we?
Yes, we sure have, Joel. Remember the good old days? Tell me, whatever became of the old Quiz Kids? Remember? Harvey Fishman, Bob Burke, Richard Williams.
It's terrible, Mr. Allen. They grew up.
Well, that's what happened to me, Joel. I grew up and look at me.
That's what I said. It's terrible.
It sure is. Well, kids, how come you're calling on me?
We brought you a copy of our new book. It's called The Quiz Kids.
Here it is, Mr. Allen.
There's a chapter in it about you.
A chapter about me? Gosh, thanks, kids. Say, how about some ice cream sodas or candy?
It's all right, Mr. Allen. The book is yours. There aren't any strings attached.
No. Not like the Tenderleaf tea, is it? Well, now tell me, how about letting me take you kids sightseeing while you're here in New York?
We've been sightseeing all week, Mr. Allen.
Really? Say, what did you see, Naomi?
I spent most of my time at the Met. I'm an old opera fan.
An old opera fan, eh? Tell me, what impressed you most, Lonnie?
I saw Mayor LaGuardia on the street.
And seeing Mayor LaGuardia impressed you?
Yes, I'm taller than he is.
Well, that's true. Jack, what gave you your biggest thrill here in New York?
I'm getting it right now, Mr. Allen, being on your program.
Oh, Jack, don't tell me you're getting a kick out of seeing little old wrinkled me.
No, sir. Senator Claghorn.
Jack, you mean?
I'm from South Chicago.
Oh. Well, I guess you quiz kids are having a lot of fun traveling around the country and broadcasting your program from different cities.
Yep, we're having a swell time, Mr.
Allen. Say, Jack, you and Naomi and Lonnie are new to radio. Tell me, how do you like it?
It's keen.
I think it's super. It's wonderful.
Say, what is your favorite radio program?
Jack Benny.
These children have been tampered with, I'm afraid. Well, we'll all be up at the district attorney's office before this night is over. Joel, why do you like Jack Benny?
He was very generous to me in Hollywood.
Benny was generous?
Yes, when I was living at his house.
Yes?
Mr. Benny gave me the weekly rate.
Oh, the weekly rate. He rarely does that. Fine. Naomi?
I like Mr. Benny because he's so sweet to me.
Benny, sweet?
Yes. The first time I met him, he asked for a lock of my hair.
Really?
He's still wearing it.
Oh, that's why Benny uses those little bobby pins. I often wonder. Lonnie, why do you like this character?
Well, if it wasn't for Mr. Benny, I wouldn't be playing the piano today.
Why not?
My mother wanted me to study the violin.
I see.
One night she heard Mr. Benny play.
Yes.
Next day I started taking piano lessons.
Well, what about you, Jack?
I like Mr. Benny.
Why?
Got me there.
Oh, you got me. You got me, too. Well, tell me now, what other radio programs do you kids like?
We all like mystery programs, Mr. Allen.
Oh, you mean like Mr. and Mrs. North and Murder at Midnight?
Yes, they're real exciting.
Boy, I'd like to be on one of those mystery programs.
Me, too.
Hey, I'll bet you quiz kids could do a swell mystery program.
We sure would like to try, Mr. Allen.
I imagine you were so frightened at the line you almost didn't read it. I imagine, Naomi, I imagine if you kids did a mystery show, it would sound something like this. Good evening, murder lovers. Our mystery tonight is called Mayhem in the Penthouse, or the millionaire knew he couldn't take it with him, but he didn't know he was leaving it so soon. The characters in our play are... First, a wealthy millionaire.
I am Bascom J. Rooney, the Lumber King. At the age of 3, I began saving the sticks for my lollipop. When I was 40, I cornered the lollipop stick market and made a sucker out of a candy in the street.
The woman in the case...
I am Fifi LaCouche. Young, fascinating, and talented. I'm starting my career as a singer. Once the world hears me, you, the God, is true. Next time?
A music composer.
I am Hoagy Lundy. Seated here at my piano, I've written hit after hit. My latest song is... Draw a hearty laugh from the slide trombone. Let the clarinet hear with the morning tone. Let the singer wear like she's left alone. You got blues, oh brother, you got blues. Let that old piano play in the funnel's glad tune. Let the drama be the tempo of the razor blues. Take the whole tree bang, it's the best you can. Put an old silk hat on the leader man.
And the master criminologist?
I am Commissioner Kupferman, formerly with Scotland Yard. I'll solve this crime or my name isn't Commissioner Kupferman, formerly with Scotland Yard.
Now the curtain rises on our mystery. We are in Hoagy Lundy's fabulous penthouse, looking up at the Third Avenue L. Hoagy at the piano has just finished playing the score of the musical comedy he has written for Fifi LaCouche. Fifi, her eyes closed, speaks.
Oh, Hoagy.
You like it, my dear?
told me it's divine.
It's music to my heart, Stevie. I love you.
Colby, once the public hears me in your show,
you will be the toast of New York. And me, I'll be playing the piano in Fanny's Bowery Folly.
Never, Colby. I swear.
Yes, but I wonder if the millionaire Baskin J. Rooney will put up the money for my show.
We'll soon know. Baskin will be here any minute.
Come in.
Good evening, folks.
Ah, Mr. Baskin J. Rooney, the millionaire. Let me take your things.
Thank you. Careful with that Inverness. The lining is live mink. Ah, Fifi.
Baskin.
My dear, you look exquisite. Blue does something for you.
Oh, Baskin.
Well, Mr. Rooney, are you ready to hear the score of Fifi's show?
I'm a busy man, Hoagie. Fifi, do you like the show?
Baskin, it's divine.
That's all I want to know. How much money do you need?
$200,000.
Take $400,000. Incidentals may come up. I'll make out a check. Here's my pen.
I'll go into the library and get a blotter.
Oh, Baskin, how can I ever thank you?
Tut, tut, Cece, darling. Let me write this check.
Oh!
Baskin! Yes!
Don't nobody move. This way. Come right in. This way, Commissioner.
Pettigan, see that no one leaves this room.
Okay, Chief.
I'll solve this crime when my name isn't Commissioner Tupperman, formerly with Scotland Yard.
Okay, Chief. Now, first, you want to grill the dame?
Right, Hannigan. Now, miss, what happened?
Well, Hoagie went into the library for a blotter. I was here chatting with Baskin. She was writing out a check when he saw me.
Too bad he didn't have a pen that could write under blood.
Chief, you're a panic.
Control yourself, Panigan.
I'll try and hold in, Chief. Hey, this case is a cinch, Chief. They ain't got no butler here. The dame must have done it.
Preposterous. Why should I kill Baskin Rooney?
Yes, why kill the man who was going to launch his career?
Heavens, Commissioner. How did you know that?
I am Commissioner Tupperman, formerly with Scotland Yard.
There's your answer, miss. See, this Hoagie character might have bumped him off.
How could I have done it? I was in the library and the door was closed.
See, it's an open and shut gate. Hoagie opened the door and shot us.
I think you got something there, Hannigan. I'll examine the body.
Good. Well, what do you deduce, Chief?
The bullet entered the head at a 45-degree angle. Are you with me, Hannigan?
Check, Chief.
Along S2 equal the muzzle velocity of the gun and wider trajectory of the bullet, we get the fulcrum that gives us dichotomy. Check, Hannigan.
You lost me in the middle of that second sentence. Well, Chief, what's your solution?
Trigonometry proves that the shot came from the library.
Impossible. I was in the library and the door was closed.
And there ain't no bullet holes in the door either, Chief.
Examine the keyhole, Hannigan.
Jeepers, the Chief is right again. Outside the keyhole, powder mark.
Exactly. The shot was fired through the keyhole. Hoagie Lundy, you killed Bascom Rooney.
Yep, the Chief's got you, Hoagie. You better come clean.
All right, I confess. I did it. Oh, Hoagie, why did you do it?
I knew once Bascom back to Soul Fifi would become a big star. Too big for a struggling young musician like me. I did it, and I'm glad you hear. Glad, glad.
Chief, I gotta say it, you're a genius.
I know it. Come on, Hoagie. You get the house chair for this.
Please, Commissioner. I love Hoagie. You can't take him away.
All right, Hoagie. You can go.
Oh, Chief. There you go again. Every time we catch a murderer, you let him go.
I know, Hannigan. That's why I'm Commissioner Tupperman. No longer with Scotland Yard.
Remember Shepherd Cheese and Tenderly Tea on your shopping day. I want to thank the Queer Kids for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Broadway's favorite comedian, Milton Berle. Thank you and good night. Good night. Thank you. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.